had an experience last week that I have not had in preaching in quite a while. Last week, you know, I've taught in Sunday school before, and I kind of had realized that I had about 30 minutes, and I came to the realization last week that they do things a lot faster. And last week, I just kind of was preaching along, teaching along, and then I looked up at the clock and went, I still have 20 minutes. That's rare for me, but don't worry, I love to talk, so I could fill it no problem. It was no issue at all. So I'm hoping that I don't make a mistake, because this week I'm over-preparing just in case I look up and see that I have too much time. But the fear of over-preparing is I really have to watch the clock now. So if I'm going long, just throw something at me. I won't be offended. It won't hurt my feelings at all. Now, if I'm 10 minutes into the teaching and you start throwing things at me, then I'm going to be offended. We're going to try and remember a little bit. Now, I know that all week long you've been just holding on to every word I said last week and you haven't forgotten anything. I'm not that foolish, don't worry. We're going to try and remember a little bit about what we talked about, because I don't remember anything I said either. We talked a little bit about the church and what the church is. And that through scriptures we find out that the church is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is made up of believers in Christ. And so that we are the church. When we talk about Landmark Baptist Church, we're talking about those of us that would raise our hand and say, I'm a member of Landmark Baptist Church. That is what the church is. It's not the building, it's the church. And perhaps you'll remember the way I remember, with silly illustrations like Oreos. Because notice I got the mega stuff Oreos. I just got to show this to you just as an example. I'm not going to get off on a tangent on Oreos this time, I promise. But that's the diet Oreos, regular Oreos, and then mega stuff Oreos. Those are mine. I call those the fat guy Oreos, and I'm working on it. Got to have those Oreos. But anyway, we're talking about the church. So our picture of the church, the example, it's not a very good example, but when you look at a package of Oreos, that would be the church of God. And inside, you peel open the package, and you will find the local churches, a lot of individual churches that make up the church of God. And so you've got local churches from history, you've got local churches from the present. So we pull out a local church, that is Landmark Baptist Church. And of course, as a church, you have two parts to make up a church. You have the cookie and you've got the cream filling. The cookie is the building, or the place that the church meets. And then that right there is not an Oreo cookie, that right there is not a church, it's just the housing. It's just the casing, what holds the true church, and that is the body of Christ, the cream filling, me and you, the best part. And of course, the cream filling you have made up of the different ingredients, which is sugar and stuff. I don't know what else. That's you and me. There's a lot of us inside the church body. There's a lot of us. We do different jobs. We do different things. We have different skills. We're sugar and other stuff. We make up the cream filling. That's you and me. That is the body of Christ. And as we studied that and looked at that in scriptures, I tried to draw this illustration, as it were, that a ministry of Landmark Baptist Church is a ministry of me. Which, by the way, I don't do the work, somebody else does it, but every time, every message, if you're not aware, is put up on our website for free, audio, video, download it, watch it, listen to it, whatever, it's all free. And so I get a report of everything that gets uploaded to the website, just so I can check for typos and things like that. And I got my little report, and it says, Michael Case, a ministry of me. Looks like the most prideful message title ever. And I'm going, I really hope Dr. Dark Carter doesn't come back and just see the title and then get called into the office. That's just not going to be good. Yeah, you know, we just taught about me all Sunday morning, preacher. That was it. We're going to look at that. We're going to kind of build off of that thought that every ministry of Landmark Baptist Church is, if you call this your church, if you are a member of Landmark Baptist Church, it is a ministry of you. You have a part in that ministry. And when something happens in that ministry, even if you don't spend a ton of time over there, it's still your ministry, because you are Landmark Baptist Church, and that is a ministry of Landmark Baptist Church. It's a ministry of me, and it's a ministry of you. Let's go ahead and turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. We speak a lot about salvation, and we should. We talk and we share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ often, and we should. I work with children, and it's a very heavy emphasis when you work with children to make sure that you give them the gospel. They need to be saved. But one of my fears is that sometimes, let's just take my children for example, they are here in Landmark Baptist Church, growing up in the Sunday schools and the junior churches, and sometimes I wonder if all they ever get is salvation. All they ever hear is how you can go to heaven. And what I want to show you this morning is there is so much more to salvation than just going to heaven. There is so much more in God's word for us than just heaven. Now, if all we got was heaven, that's enough. We don't deserve anything else. We don't need anything else. But God gives us so much more. And so we're going to go through Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. We're going to go through these verses. I want to show you just a few things that are more than just going to heaven. And then we're going to see the point that we're going to try and go to in verse number 10. Starting in verse number 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. That's speaking of our salvation. And praise the Lord for that. So we start with salvation. Everything God does for us must start with salvation. That relationship, we must be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. It must start there. But then verse number 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You notice that it says together? We don't just have salvation, we also have the privilege of being able to have a relationship with the God of heaven. We get to sit together with Him. We get to walk with Him. Not only do I get to go to heaven one day, right now I am seated in heavenly places in Christ. I am as good as there. I am going to spend an eternity with God. And it started the day I got saved. I get to walk with God today. Will it be easier when I'm in heaven and I've gotten rid of this flesh and I've gotten rid of this sin-cursed earth? Yes, it'll be a lot easier to walk with God in heaven. But God gives me the ability to walk with Him here on this earth in my flesh. I can defeat the flesh through His strength and I can walk with God. That's a relationship. Verse number 7, that's our relationship with Him. Verse number 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God wants to spoil us. In our relationship with Christ, that is the blessing. Now, I'm talking to a lot of grandparents in here. Grandparents, you love spoiling the grandkids, don't you? That's just a privilege. You love to spoil the grandkids. My grandfather, on my mom's side, I didn't get to spend much time with them. We grew up way up in Alaska. They were in New York. And so I can remember two or three vacations we took to where I got to see my grandfather. And I remember one specific thing that my grandfather did for me and my brothers and sisters. My grandfather one day, it was about lunchtime, maybe a little after or so, and he looked at my mom and dad and says, "Your kids have been horrible. I need to take them to the torture chamber." We're like, "What?" Eyeballs are huge. It's like, "I need to go torture your kids." And my mom and dad, loving parents that they are, okay. We're getting put in the car. We're scared to death. We don't know what grandpa's going to do to us. He takes us down to a little shop. And we're looking in the shop, and it's kind of like a hardware store. And we're going, "Oh, great, I know there's sharp tools in there. What is he going to do to us?" And we're just scared to death, not saying, being perfect little angels in the car for Grandpa so he doesn't torture us too bad. And he turns around and he looks at us and he says, "You guys have been so bad, I need to torture you with ice cream." Now, you must understand, I'm not getting you a small ice cream. I'm going to torture you with more ice cream than you can eat. Okay. And so he took us in there, and we'd go, well, we're used to going shopping with mom and dad. "Can I get a small ice cream cone?" "No, he's been bad. Give him an extra large." Okay. My mom and dad knew something was up when the next day we were begging to get tortured some more. Just begging. "Let Grandpa torture us. Please let him torture us." Grandparents, they love spoiling their kids. They love spoiling the grandkids. And one of the problems is can you spoil them the way you want to when they're being wicked little demons running around your house? Well, you shouldn't. You probably do. You're more forgiving than parents are. But we can't. Sometimes when they're just being so bad, you want to spoil them, you want to do things for them, but you can't. God's the same way with us many times. And I think God sees us more as a grandfather than he does as a father, because he's really forgiving, isn't he? He spoils us when we really don't deserve it many, many times. God wants to spoil us. He wants to spoil us that in the ages to come, from now and through all eternity, he wants to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. God wants to spoil us. God wants to do great things for us. He wants to do that for us. That's part of the blessing of walking with him. When we start walking with him and we start following the guidelines of his scriptures, he gets the opportunity to spoil us a little bit. God wants to do that. And just look at verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's a reminder of his goodness. God saved us. And just think, if he did all that and then looks at us and says he wants to show us the exceeding riches of his kindness toward us, what else does he want to do for us? He already saved us, and now he wants to do more. The blessings of salvation are so much more than heaven. He's got so much more planned for us. He has so much more he wants to give us. But we're not talking about that this morning. We're going to talk about verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, part of salvation, part of having a relationship with the God of heaven, is that he has a job for us to do. He wants us to work with him. He wants us to do things for him. We find, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 27. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 27. God has a work or a job or a responsibility that he wants us to do. We're building off the thought that Landmark Baptist Church has a lot of ministries. Those ministries are of me. And God has a job that he wants me as a member of Landmark Baptist Church to do, a job to fulfill. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 27 and 28. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we have the beautiful picture of the body of Christ, how we have many, many jobs. Some people are the hands, some people are the feet, but we're all part of the same body. And when God goes through that illustration, he then says in verse number 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Yes, we are the body of Christ, but in particular, we are all different members of that body. We all have different parts. We're all a different ingredient of the cream filling in the local Oreo Church of God. Verse number 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, the gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, and we could go on and on, all the different jobs that God gives to people in the local church, to members of the body. Now, some of these jobs in this scripture have been done away with since we have the pure, completed word of God at this time, but we do still have that truth that we all have different jobs, different administrations, the scripture says elsewhere, and we all have the same spirit. We're all part of the same exact team. Now, when God hands to us a job, it's an exciting job. Because he's not just looking at us like a slave. He's not just looking at us like a servant saying, I'm going to give you work to do. We find in Matthew chapter 11, 29 and 30, he says this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Notice whose yoke it is. It's his. It's his burden. Take my burden upon you. A yoke they use for oxen. And many times when you've got a heavy cart, they'll use more than one oxen, and you've got two places. You've got a slot for Jesus, and you got a slot for you. Notice he says that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Guess who does all the heavy lifting? He does. And we just get to be there and get to be part of the work that he is doing. We get to have part in that. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 3. Here in Corinthians, Corinth was a very worldly church, a church that was, they were saved, they were on their way to heaven, but they weren't living the way God had for them. And the Apostle Paul, God used him to write to Corinth and correct some of the things they were doing. And it's there in the scriptures because many times we need corrected as well. And we're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, starting in verse number 5. As Paul is speaking to them, as they've been lifting up the servants of God more than they should have. They've been saying, I've been of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and Apollos is a better servant than Paul is, and I follow this man. And no, we don't follow the man, we follow the God of heaven. And Paul's straightening them out on this, starting in verse number 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. They're just like anybody else. They're in the yoke with Christ. Verse number 6, I have planted, Apollos watered. Who does the hard work? But God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And verse number 8, here's one of the blessings of working with God, doing the job that he gives us. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. We're part of the same body. We're part of the same team. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Not only does God give us a job, then do most of the work, he then rewards us for working alongside him. We get an extra blessing just because we get to be with our Heavenly Father and work with him. Now, verse number 9. For we are laborers, get this word, together with God. Part of being a Christian is we have a labor together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. God wants to work in us and then through us. As a member of Landmark Baptist Church, God has a job for you to do within the ministry. God has a work for you to do. God has a work for me to do. Now, as we look at that example of the body of Christ, there's only one person who knows, well, let's say two people that know what that job is. That's the head, Christ, and you, because he's the one telling you to do it. Those are the only two people. I have no clue what your job is in the body of Christ. No clue. I could not come to you and tell you what job God has for you to do. I don't have a clue. I could encourage you. I could try and help you and show you some things that can be done in the ministry, but I don't know what God wants you to do. He's the head. He's the one sharing that job with you. He's the one that shows you that job. There is a blessing in working with a father. My father, as I grew up, he's a missionary now, but as I grew up, my father was a truck driver. He worked for a company called Food Services of America, a very big competitor to Sysco here in the South. Food Services of America is up north. My dad was the guy that delivered the foods to the McDonald's and the Taco Bells and all the restaurants around our city. And so every once in a while, my father would allow me to work with him. Now, I never really liked getting up with my father in the morning because he'd have to get up at 3, 4 a.m., and I am not a morning person at all, but I liked working with my dad. So half the day on the job, I was asleep in the truck, and I would wake up halfway through the workday and start helping out then. But when I would wake up, I had a very special job, and I remember vividly doing the job with my father. My dad would, of course, have his trailer loaded with goods, and he'd lay the ramp out, and he'd get his hand truck or his dolly loaded up, and he'd go down the ramp into the building, drop it off, and back for another load. My job was to stand at the door of the building and simply open the door when he came by. He'd go in, I'd close the door. He'd come back, I'd open the door, he'd go out, I'd close the door. I'd wait for him, he'd come back. That's my job the entire day. I would normally bring a stuffed animal along with me to keep me company. I don't know. I was 10, okay? It's all right. I had to bring my stuffed raccoon because he had a jacket he could wear because it was cold and a little scarf. It's very important to take him with me. His name was Rocky, by the way, in case you need to know that. So we would stand there and we'd do the job. My dad loved having me there. He told me over and over again what a huge help I was just by opening the door. Because when he'd have the hand truck and he'd be trying to open the door and squeeze through, it was just more difficult. He'd make my job sound like the most important job in the world. I loved doing that job. One of the things that was unique to me is I wasn't doing much. My dad was doing all the heavy lifting boxes that I couldn't even imagine to lift. But people from the restaurants would come by and say, man, you're doing a good job. Guess what I get to do? Point to my father. And I get to say, he's the one doing the work. I'm just holding the door. But I would get praise. I'd get a blessing from just doing the little job that I was given. There are blessings in working with a father. My dad began taking long deliveries where he'd have four to six hour drives out, deliver the food, then a 4 to 6 hour drive back. And every once in a while, he'd let me go along with him. And I remember one trip that I went with him. We forgot to pack a lunch. My dad didn't have the cash to get us a lunch. And we're driving. We had gone. We had done our job. We're coming back. We hadn't eaten, and we were both starving. And my dad looks over at me, and he says, you know what? I think we might have something we can use in the back. The rule was for the company is that if a product was damaged and the store rejected it, that he had to bring it back to the warehouse, they had to list it off as a rejected package, and then if it was worth eating, he could take it home. If it was not worth eating, they just toss it. More often than not, if the store rejected it, it was not worth eating. But he had a box back there that they had rejected of some honeydew melon. And so he went through that, and some of it had started to rot, and it was just turning bad. And my dad went through that box, and he's going through, nope, nope, nope. And he finds one that had a bad spot, but he could chop it off, and it was a pretty good honeydew melon. Looked pretty good. So he chopped that up, and we sat in the middle of nowhere. We just pulled off on the side of the road, middle of nowhere. We sat in the back of that semi on the tailgate of that truck, and we ate the best tasting honeydew melon I have ever had in my entire life. To this day, every time I see honeydew melon, I go, oh, I love honeydew melon. And I pick it up. That's just depressing. I don't know what it was about that honeydew melon, other than I think it was because I was with my dad. Made a memory. I loved working with my dad. God lets us do that with him. God lets us work with him. God lets us get that blessing of working alongside him. When I would work with my dad, it would build my relationship with my father because I would begin spending time with him and doing things for him. And I would notice as I was working with my dad, things that he would like done. He didn't ask me to open those doors. It was something that I was spending time with my father, and I saw, I think this will help my dad. And I got to do a job and be a blessing to my father. I get to do a job and be a blessing to my heavenly father. It is awesome to take that responsibility and a blessing that God lets us do that. There's something very important, and one of the big things that I miss in being able to do something, being able to do a job for my father. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. God has a job for you to do, Landmark Baptist Church. God has a work, a responsibility that he wants to give to you. Work's not a dirty thing. Work's not an ugly word. God put work in the Garden of Eden way before sin ever came into the garden. There is a blessing in work. Men that have gone out and worked a good long day's work, and you've come back and you've worked hard, that's the best night's sleep you can have, because you know you've done a good work. When we know we've done a good work and we put our all into it for the Lord, there is no feeling like that in the world. To know that God gave me responsibility. And did I mess it up sometimes? Yes. But if I can honestly say I did my utmost, then I can look at my Heavenly Father and He can say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." There's no feeling like a father looking at you saying, "I'm very happy with the job you've done." No feeling like it in the world. But here's what we miss sometimes. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." I'm going to give you an illustration this morning that I'm going to be honest and say is probably the worst illustration I've ever given. I am going to regret giving this illustration. It's not a good one. I have to over-explain it because it doesn't fit the illustration well, and I'm going to get really, really tired. This illustration, I want you to understand, is not the way God looks at the jobs He gives us. This is the way we see things. God sees things totally different. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. So I want you to understand this is the way we perceive things incorrectly many times. I'll get saved, or someone gets saved, and they find out that God has a job that He wants them to do. And we look at it and we say, "That's not much. That's not a big job. That's just little." But if you've been saved for a long time, do you remember when God gave you the first job? Do you remember how huge it looked? You remember how big that job was? And you said, "God, I can't do that." Whatever the job is, whatever you would consider to be a small job, "God, you're working in my heart to just stand at the door and shake people's hands and welcome them, or to get out of my pew and go to the other side of the church and actually shake people's hands over there. I don't know those people. They're scary. It's a big job." I'll admit to being one of those people. I do not like people. I don't. I like to talk. I like when you sit and listen to me talk, but I don't want you talking back to me. I don't know how to respond to that. That's just awkward. I'm weird that way. And when God works in my heart to go talk to somebody that I don't know, it's difficult for me. That's a heavy weight for me. But God says, "That's the job that I'm giving you." And many times when God gives us a little job, we just say, "It's not worth doing. I'll wait for something bigger." But you know what we need to learn to do? To simply do the job that God has given us to do. To work out that muscle of faith. Because you know what's going to happen after we start doing that job? God's not done with us. God wants to add a little bit more weight. God says, "I've got a Sunday school class I want you to teach." I can't teach a Sunday school class. I know they're only second graders, but do you know how much energy a second grader has? Do you know how difficult it's going to be to work with second graders? And God says, "I need you to trust me, because you're not doing this alone. We're going to do this together." God's going to lift most of the weight. And so we take that and we start working that muscle of faith. I'm getting tired already. We're going to start working that muscle of faith out, and we start doing a little bit more in our eyes for God. And we start doing a little bit more, and we start getting comfortable in that work. You know what God's going to do? You know what God's going to do. He's going to say, "Okay, you did a Sunday school class." I'm just using examples. Who knows what job's God's going to give you? Kind of using the examples from my own life, I guess you'd say. God's going to say, "Okay, instead of a Sunday school class, you're going to take a junior church. Instead of 20 kids, you're going to have 100 kids." I couldn't handle 20 kids. What are you giving me 100 kids for? And God says, "You couldn't do the 20 kids. You can't do the 100 kids. We're doing this together." Amen. we're working that muscle of faith. We're building that relationship. Every time I get those weights, it starts getting heavier. And I have to rely on God more. I have to have faith in Him more. I have to trust that He's going to do the work more than I used to. God's going to get us to a point to where we're going, "You've got to be kidding me. I can barely carry these things by themselves. I hate this illustration." Ugh. Okay, I'm done. God gives us a little bit more responsibility. God wants to do something through us that we cannot do. God wants to look at us, and He wants to have Dr. Carter call you one day and say, "You're teaching the adult Sunday school class." You're doing what? I don't like adults. They know more than I do. I can't do stupid, silly things and not help them realize that I'm not stupid and silly. They know I am. Kids, they just think I'm being silly. They just think it's an act. You know better. You figure that out quick. It's embarrassing. And God says, "Could you teach that Sunday school class I gave you first? Do you remember that job?" "No." "You had to trust in me, didn't you?" "Yeah." "Trust in me again, and I'll do something with you that you cannot do." If you watch me before I prepare, I guess you would say, for a Sunday school class, it is quite obvious that I have no idea what I'm doing. It is quite obvious that I am scared to death. It is quite obvious that I can't do it. I don't have the power and strength to teach a Sunday school class like this. Put me in front of a bunch of kids, and I'm more comfortable over there because I've worked out those muscles. I think I can do that in my own strength, but God doesn't want me doing my own things in my own strength. He wants me trusting Him. And so I have to take it, and I have to do the job that God gives me. Ow. And I have to work at it. And it's not easy. And sometimes, as I'm working for God, it gets tough. And that's why we have to have faith. That's why we have to realize that we're working with God. We're doing what God has for us. You want to know something that I've kind of realized? Is that God doesn't want to stop adding weight. It gets more difficult, and I have to trust in Him more. And part of me is a little scared. What's He going to do next? Because I don't think I can go any further. How many of you have served the Lord for many years and can honestly say, when I got saved, if you had asked me to do what God asked me to do to begin with, I would have just given up right then and there? Yeah? Because that muscle of faith isn't there. You haven't worked it out. You haven't begun to learn how to trust God. And until you learn how to trust God with the little weights, you'll never be able to do something that in your eyes is more important. Now, once again, that's the way we look at things. To God, God sees the littlest weight as the most important one. You know why? Because that's the job He gave you. We might think it's small. We might think it's insignificant, but God looks at it and He says, "That's the weight I gave you, and I would rather have you lift that weight than the big heavy ones, because I didn't tell you to lift the big heavy ones. I told you to lift that one." There are people in this church that amaze me. I do not want to steal someone's reward in heaven, so I'm not going to tell you who they are, but I've heard their names from that pulpit as being someone that's in the hospital close to their deathbed. And then a month later, they're in God's house. A month later, they're not just in God's house. I know they're hurting. I know they are. But they take extra special time to spend with my kids. I know they're tired. I know that they're exhausted. And I know that it would be so easy for them to just go to their seat and relax. They've already served God for their years. They're in the sunset years of their life. They have a right to relax. But when the spirit is willing and their flesh is weak, they push. And they take my kids around on their walkers, and they love on my kids, and they spend time with others, and they have a smile on their face. You know what they're doing? They're lifting a weight that takes some serious faith. Sometimes in our eyes, we see the weights as, well, I'm getting older. That means the weights are getting thrown off. When the flesh starts getting weaker, guess who we have to rely on more to do the simplest things? We have to rely on God. We have to trust God. And I, for one, as an observant from the other side, just coming into my physical, spiritual strength, as it were, not going into the sunset years to where I just don't have the physical strength, I watch what some of the church members of this church do and watch in awe. Because it might seem small in our eyes, but it's huge in God's eyes. Landmark Baptist Church, we're a church family. Individually, we start lifting that. You know what God's going to do with Landmark Baptist Church? That's heavy. Dumbest illustration in the world. That's all I'm doing. I'm done. God's going to give us something as a church. He's going to say, all right, Landmark Baptist Church, you've all got your individual jobs. I want you doing that. I can't do that. I'm not even going to try to do that. And God says, that's what I want you to do. That right there weighs more than I do. I can't lift that. That is beyond my physical ability. God wants us to get to that point. God wants us to get to a point, as Dr. Carter says, that Landmark Baptist Church is the turtle on a fence post. He didn't get up there by himself. There had to be somebody that did it. God wants Landmark Baptist Church to accomplish something for him in Haines City, Florida, that anyone that's watching would say, there's something different there. We sometimes are more like the Pharisees that we find in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. We walk like Christians. We talk like Christians. We look right. But until we start doing something that we can't do, we're denying that we have a power. We're denying that God can do something through me. Landmark Baptist Church, I'm talking to myself too. What job does God have for you? It might look like a small weight, but if God's telling you to lift that weight, it's time to get busy. It's time to start working for him. And I promise you that when you start working with him, you're going to enjoy every bit of it. And I have to be honest, there's a part of me that's scared of what God does with me in the future, because I know I'm going to have to trust him more, and I know I'm going to have faith in him more. But there's also a big part of me that's excited, because I want to do something for him. I want to be the vessel that he uses. I want God to be able to say that he used me. Not that I did the work, not that I was special, not that I was anything, but I could say God used me. And it all starts with the smallest of ways.